Now, the worship service of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Pastor Keith Griswold. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church. This broadcast is from March 10th, 2013, with Pastor Kimberly Farrell.
This morning, there are a few announcements that I would like to share with you before we begin worship. Thank you for all of the support that you've given for the last few dinners. We served about 380 this past Friday, and it was a joy to be in the midst of it and to experience the life that was in that room. So thank you for coming and eating and bringing friends and giving gift certificates, which are still available. We had a number of those come in, so thank you.
The Adult Sunday School will continue with Adam Hamilton's study on controversial topics. That will continue on the 24th of March, and we're going to be talking about prayer in the school. So if you're interested, please come.
We'll also be continuing our Lenten lunches and Bible study as well. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it and prepare to worship God this morning. And let us lift our voice in prayer. Oh God, your glory is always to have mercy. Be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways. Bring us again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Jesus Christ, your Son.
who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
And let us sing, Come All You People.
Gospel reading this morning is from Luke 15, 11 through 32. Jesus also told them another story. Once a man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, Give me my share of the property. So the father divided his property between his two sons. Not long after that, the younger son packed up everything he owned and left for a foreign country, where he wasted all his money in wild living. He had spent everything when a bad famine spread through that whole land. Soon he had nothing to eat. He went to work for a man in that country, and the man sent him out to take care of his pigs. He would have been glad to eat what the pigs were eating, but no one gave him a thing. Finally, he came to his senses and said, My father's workers have plenty to eat, and here I am starving to death. I will go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I am no longer good enough to be called your son. Treat me like one of your workers. The younger son got up and started back to his father. But when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt sorry for him. He ran to his son and hugged him and kissed him. The son said, Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I am no longer good enough to be called your son. But his father said to the servant, Hurry and bring the best clothes and put them on him. Give him a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Get the best calf and prepare it so we can eat and celebrate. This son of mine was dead, but has now come back to life. He was lost and has now been found. And they began to celebrate. The older son had been out in the field, but when he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants over and asked, What's going on here? The servant answered, Your brother has come home safe and sound, and your father ordered us to kill the best calf. The older brother got so angry that he would not even go into the house. His father came out and begged him to go in, but he said to his father, For years I have worked for you like a slave and have always obeyed you, but you've never even given me a little goat so that I could give a dinner for my friends. That other son of yours wasted your money on prostitutes, and now that he's come home, you order the best calf to be killed for a feast? His father replied, My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours, but we should be glad and celebrate. Your brother was dead, but he's now alive. He was lost and has now been found. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Would our children like to come forward? How are you this morning?
Good.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I have a question for you. Do you ever get into disagreements or arguments with your brothers or sisters?
Definitely.
Well, good for you. I used to get into disagreements with my sister. One of my favorite phrases to say to my parents when I complain about what she was doing was say, That's not fair. Have you ever said something like that?
Yes.
Because sometimes it seems like they would get to do something. She got to do things that I wanted to do, and I wasn't allowed to do it. Or she'd get to have a lot of fun, and I maybe had to clean my room. And it just wasn't fair.
Well, when I was in my room and I played in, and I make a big, huge mess, so I clean it all by myself.
Good for you. It's good to keep things clean as well. Sometimes that's difficult. It was difficult for me to keep my room clean. Good for you. I'm glad you clean up your room. Well, in this morning's Bible lesson, there were two brothers, and the older brother saw that his younger brother had come home after a long trip when he did some not very nice things, and he wasted all of his dad's money. And he said, "Dad, it's not fair that you're having this big party." And his dad said, "I lost my son, and now he's found again." Sometimes it seems like life's just not fair, and we don't get what we want. But we know that God loves us, and that our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas love us, and they know what's best for us.
Yeah.
They love us just like the father in the story loved his sons and wanted them both to be happy and to celebrate together. So sometimes it's hard to be happy when they get to have the fun and we don't. But we need to know that we are loved just like those sons were loved. Let's say a prayer right now. Can we do that? Dear God, we thank you for excitement and joy, and we thank you that you love each of us and give us exactly what we need to grow and learn and be your children. Help us to share your love with those around us and to celebrate the good things that happen in all of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, everyone.
There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in his justice, which is more than liberty.
There is wisdom for the sinner, and more grace is for the good.
Together. Come, Spirit of God, come and fall afresh on all of us. Move within us so we might hear you, see you, and follow you. Amen. From the beginning of time, humans have been concerned about belonging. Belonging matters. There is a television show called Project Runway, and their motto is, "One day you're in, and the next day you're out." It's all about who's in. When we were hunter-gatherers, we cared only about our blood family Everyone else was a threat to our very survival. Eventually, we moved to being concerned with those in our communities, feeling empathy for those in our nation, and feeling patriotism. And hopefully, we feel concern for those across the globe, although we have not yet gained that full empathy for everyone in our human family. How many of us associate with certain people or do not associate with certain people? Jesus proclaimed every day of his ministry that everyone was welcome into the kingdom of God. Jesus also expected everyone who called himself or herself a follower to welcome everyone as well. This morning's gospel lesson is a part of the stories that Jesus is telling to those who would listen. Jesus, the master storyteller, is telling stories in response to the grumblings of the religious leaders. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law of Moses were complaining that Jesus spent so much time with the tax collectors and the sinners. They simply could not understand why Jesus would want to eat with them. Why would he be so friendly with outcasts? So this is the third of the three stories, the man with the two sons. It is the longest and most detailed story in Luke 11, but all three are on the same theme. Someone has something, loses it, finds it again, and celebrates what was lost and is now found. The sheep, the coins, and the sons seem to be secondary in the story. So what does Jesus want us to glean by hearing the once was lost and now is found? We will never fully know what Jesus wanted us to learn from these parables, but we know there is always more to hear, even a parable as familiar as the prodigal son. Some have considered the label of the prodigal son to be incorrect. Instead of calling it the parable of the prodigal son, it should be labeled the parable of the prodigal God. Prodigal means spending money or resources freely, recklessly, wastefully, extravagant. We know that the younger brother threw away all of his inheritance. He wasted it. But his father was just as recklessly extravagant with his love, no matter what the son did. Just like today, inheritance comes after death. So the son, when he was demanding his inheritance, was basically saying that he didn't care about the well-being of his father. The money was the only thing that mattered to him. Then he wasted all of that money. It doesn't quite look like he was ready to apologize to his father once he came to his senses. He simply wanted food to eat. His father's love for him was greater than the wrong choices that he made. Picture that scene as his father is running down to greet him. A dignified person would not do that. You wait to be greeted. The father that Jesus portrays acts out of love and compassion for his son, the love and compassion that God has for us. This is not the only interaction that Jesus tells us about. The elder son, in his own way, also ran off to a distant country. The country of anger and resentment. Yet his father's love did not end for him either. He went out and pleaded for his son to come and join the party. God's love beckons everyone home and does not end ever, and especially not when there are some outside the feast. Francis Thompson wrote a poem called The Hound of Heaven. When describing the poem, the Newman Press Book of Verse says, "The name is strange. It startles one at first. It is so bold, so new, so fearless. It does not attract. But when one reads the poem, the strangeness disappears. The meaning is understood. As the hound follows the hare, never ceasing in its running, ever drawing nearer in the chase, with an unhurrying pace, so does God follow the fleeing soul by his divine grace. And though in sin or in human love, away from God, we seek to hide ourselves, divine grace follows, unwearyingly follows, till the soul feels its pressure forcing it to turn to God." John Wesley talked about God's grace in this way, wooing us into relationship with God. When we choose to follow Christ, or when we repent of our sins and turn back to follow God, we are not entering the beginning of our relationship with God, but following another step on the journey. We are responding to God's grace already given to us. God offers us grace whether we receive it or not. God offers grace to everyone whether we like it or not. Both sons were sinners, whether by their actions or by their lack of actions. Both rejected the Father's love, like we have at many points in our lives, rejected God's grace. God's extravagant, overwhelming, reckless love, like that Father's love, never ends. The Pharisees, when they looked at Jesus eating with sinners, saw that same reckless extravagance. Jesus did not use discretion when he showed love. Reverend James Forbes said, "To be family is to care and share and look out for one another. Compassion is the key to living as a human family. Do we have God's radical love for everyone, especially those whom we might consider to be sinners living inside of us? What if our radical love, who others think they don't deserve, is an avenue that God will use to woo those people back to God? God's grace invites a change in our lives where we let go of our desire for sin and pick up only God's desires. So what are God's desires for us as Christians and for us as a church? How will we be a people this day who will run out and greet those who have wandered away or those whom we wish would just not join the party? We gather together as a church Sunday after Sunday and Friday after Friday to celebrate and rejoice over all who are found. Following Jesus is hard work. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "If our Christianity has ceased to be serious about discipleship, if we have watered down the gospel into emotional uplift, which makes no demands and which fails to distinguish between natural and Christian experience, then maybe we might be missing out on following Jesus even more perfectly. We have then forgotten," he says, "that the cross means rejection and shame." Who are those who experience rejection and shame today? Does God call you to welcome them into your presence, to throw a huge party for them? Maybe it won't come in the form of a huge feast, but in other ways, big and small ways, maybe even just a hug or a lunch.
or a friendly hello and a smile to those who feel invisible? And in what ways can we be agents of reconciliation in our communities and in our families? God's grace is indeed amazing, for we were lost and we have been found. We might not feel like it's amazing when others who we don't want to be found are found. But like the Father welcomed his son and both sons home and invited them into the party, may we go to the people and the places of hurt. And may we be God's family to those who need to hear God's message of hope and love. Amen. Unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance before you and give you peace. Amen.
You've been listening to the 10 a.m. service from the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays or in person at 10 a.m. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.